The Loreto Sisters of South Asia, headquartered in Kolkata, formerly Calcutta, are currently marking 175 years of their presence in the region. Remember, Re-image, Renew is the theme of the year-long Jubilee celebration that officially kicked off with a Thanksgiving Mass on December the 30th in Kolkata's Science City Auditorium. Last week, in the first of a two-part telephone interview with the superior of the Loreto Sisters of South Asia, Indian sister Anita Braganza, we came to know a lot about her order. She narrated how a young group of seven sisters and five postulants belonging to the Institute of the Blessed Virgin Mary, IBVM, better known as the Loreto Sisters, landed in Calcutta on December the 30th, 1841, 4 months after setting sail from Ireland, never to return home. This intrepid band of women was commissioned by their superior in Dublin, Mother Teresa Ball, who appointed the eldest of them all, Sister Delphine Hart, barely 23, as their leader. They came in response to the Calcutta Catholic community's request for the education of the girls. After landing in Calcutta, the nuns never looked back, and today they number 135 professed nuns, 14 novices and 8 candidates in India, Nepal and Bangladesh, engaged in 51 different ministries. Sister Braganza talked about how their original foundress, Mary Ward, an Englishwoman, began her ministry in the 17th century England, where the Catholic Church was persecuted by the Protestants. Far ahead of our times, Mother Ward envisioned an active apostolic women's order headed by a woman, not a bishop, with members dressed in the ordinary habit of the people and modelled on the spirituality of Saint Ignatius and his constitution. However, church authorities were not ready for all this, and so she ran into problems with them. She went about Europe establishing schools, but because of the Protestant persecution, her association with the Jesuits and other historical reasons, her order was suppressed. Several of her centers and works continued functioning independently, some under bishops. One such center came to be known as the Irish branch of the Loreto Sisters, pioneered by Mother Teresa Ball, under whose leadership the first group of nuns ventured out of Ireland and landed in India on December the 30th, 1840. Well, today, in the final of this two-part telephone interview, we asked Sister Anita Braganza whether it is true that the Loreto institutions are meant only for the rich.
You know, people are not really aware of what we do. If I go back in history, even when we first started, we started two schools. There was one for the rich and one we started for the poor, for the orphans. Over time, that got amalgamated into one because we felt we wanted to be an inclusive school. And this is not of recent times. This is way back. So we started to take children on scholarships, on freeships, on concessions into our regular schools. And people didn't know that because we, even today, don't tell others in our school who's on a freeship, who's on a scholarship. The only people who know already would be the accounts department. So it's not that Loreto is an elitist school. Yes, we maintain very good infrastructure. We make sure our teachers are good, and we do our best, really, to include children from every strata of society. In fact, we were the first who talked about admitting at least 25% of the poor into our schools, even before anything happened with the government. Then from there on, there was a great move towards an option for the poor, and we looked at our schools and realized that there was infrastructure lying vacant that was not being used after school hours. That's when the Rainbow Initiative started. So out of our 6 major schools in Kolkata, 5 have rainbow homes, and there are about 600 children from the streets who live in our 5 schools. The 6th school being Loreto and Tally, which we still keep as a boarding school, and it's not a plush boarding school. It's more for children who really need us. So that's our 6th school. So that began the Street Children's Program, which is over 10, 15 years old now. From there, we began the development work. We began in Siliguri district, the tea gardens around that area. We have a big influence that side. And in Kolkata, we are working in 51 brick field schools. We have centers within the city for children even of sex workers, Sonagachi, and in one of the other areas. We have also schools along the pavement, small little outreaches, so every bit to bring the unschooled in. We are also involved in safe migration of women who are at risk. So we've done a lot of that. We've rescued children, we've rescued women, both in the Siliguri district as well as in Kolkata area in the village. So we're out in places like Canning as well. Along with that, we have hostels in Shillong, in Nepal, in Darjeeling and Asansol. Again, these are for children from the villages who want to avail of education. So it's not a regular hostel, it's more a home for these children. An intensive course is there. And then we also have a development center in Nepal where we work with stone breakers. The women who work as stone breakers, the children who work there, and we also go out to the villages with the mother and child programs, particularly for nutrition and health care. So we've spread quite a lot into different ministries now. So always the focus is on the underprivileged, women and children.
I believe the Jubilee celebration of the 175 years of the Loreto Sisters of South Asia cannot be complete without recalling some of the earlier Loreto Sisters. One of them is a former Loreto nun who has become world famous, Mother Teresa of Kolkata, today a saint. She left her homeland, Albania, to join the Loreto Sisters in Ireland in order to come to Kolkata as a missionary, and like her predecessors, never returned home. She later responded to a call within a call and went on to found the Missionaries of Charity Order. What have you to say about her?
Oh, we are extremely proud of her. Extremely proud. That's one of ours. In fact, when we look back and we say, thanks to the strong foundation that Loreto gave her, both spiritually and otherwise, for her to be able to discern that call, to be able to listen, to take the challenge of moving out, which could appear to be quite a secure life, you know, for her that time. Because if you look at our own history, as I said before, we were very much under the bishop. And it was a struggle for the sisters to come into our own charism. Okay, we were never meant to be within the four walls. So for us, our sisters in the initial days, it was quite monastic. And not that we didn't care for the poor. We did. We reached out to them, but often from our base, because we were not allowed to move around freely. But I do believe that the strong spiritual formation that Mother Teresa received in Loreto gave all that she needed to go ahead and to found the congregation. And we're really proud of her and very happy that out of Mary Ward's charism, another flower has bloomed.
Now, sister, you are celebrating this 175th anniversary on the theme Remember, Reimage and Renew. Could you talk a little bit about this theme, about this motto? And at the same time, could you tell us how you plan for the future, the coming years?
Well, we picked this motto for the 175 years, this theme, really. Firstly, when we looked at it, we just actually finished a really wonderful province assembly where all of us gathered for the meeting. All right, and we really looked at what we've taken up as our theme for the 175 years. So we began at looking at ourselves at a very personal level, where we are as Loreto Sisters today, and to renew ourselves in our own vocations, in our own personal vocation, in our commitment to God, in our commitment to Jesus, in our following of Jesus, in giving, in serving. So that's at the personal level. At province level, we are looking again at all our systems and structures and our decisions to see how do we carry what our sisters began. They came where the need was greatest. How can we move this forward? Our latest move has been we're doing it in collaboration with the Jesuits to a place called Gumla out of Ranchi, where they want to start for children of the area, villages. So we sent two sisters there because we are good at education, right? So we're helping the Jesuits to start their school there. So within our province level, again, to relook and see where can we go? Who needs us? What do we need to do to really address the needs of today? And we've taken that further to the international level, where, as I shared earlier, we are ready to go where our general leader invites us to go, because we believe if our sisters came 175 years and started the congregation in this country and left so much, we are standing on the shoulders of great giants. And we believe this is the time for us Indian sisters to give back to the church, to give back to the congregation. So we are open to go again where the need is greatest, as our first sisters did. So that's basically what we're looking at. And along with that, we're looking at our own lives seriously as religious today. Where are we prophetic? Just as our founder Mary Ward was. Where are we standing for people who are voiceless? So we're taking a really serious look at this. And so hopefully during this Jubilee year, as we remember, we renew ourselves and we re-image our own calling as religious and live out of that.
That was the final of a two-part telephone interview with Indian sister Anita Braganza, the superior of the Loreto province of South Asia, on the 175 years of her congregation in the region. This has been The Backgrounder, a weekly feature of Vatican Radio's English service for Asia.